Okay, Bob, if you're standing on Maui and you're looking south and the wind is blowing in your face, what direction is the wind blowing from?
So I'm standing on the beach over there, Carol, and
Coral Beach, looking south.
I'm looking south, and the wind blows on my face. Where's the wind coming from, Carol?
Yeah.
Coming from the south. Coming from the south.
But the wind's blowing north.
Right.
Yes, it's going in the northerly direction, but it's coming from the south.
Correct, but it's going north, and northern wind hits you in the face.
Really? Is that what it is, Carol? Where it's going is how you name it, not where it's coming from.
He makes us laugh every single time. Every single time. What evoked
the creation of America,
the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria.
Yeah, Columbus did.
Ohio.
So what was
Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, Akron. Akron, Ohio. And the Cathedral of Tomorrow. Rex Humbard in the Cathedral of Tomorrow. And his wife was named, wait for it, Maud Amy Humbard. Do y'all remember that? Yeah. Rex and Maud Amy Humbard.
That nonsense. I'll deal with that.
It's not. Oh, there's don't mute us. Face that side of here.
I wonder also, because there were some cities that were supposed to be left by the population, like in Teotihuacan or in the Maya cities, that they went to another parallel world. Did the people knew this was going to happen and they decided to leave before?
No, the redistribution.
You're asking if these Mayans and that, if they knew America would be manifested after Columbus, and they left. That's what you're asking.
It was the Amalekites.
Well, what's that? What are the Amalekites?
Amalekites. They were close, very close to the Moabites.
Are they mentioned in the Bible?
Who?
The Amalekites.
It's in Dusseldorf.
Dusseldorf.
Well,
I wrote down Roxy.
Texas, whichever one you want to do. Lukenbach, Texas. If you go all the way through the middle of the earth to the other side of the earth, guess where it comes out?
It comes out in Beijing.
Hawaii. No, not Hawaii. Dusseldorf.
In Roxy's
house. In Berlin. So that's why he's been, like, Roxy evoked this Lukenbach thing. That's directly lined up with you, Roxy, in Berlin. A mystery has been solved.
Yeah.
Yay. Herbert Marshall. So I wrote down Roxy at 4:58. Roxy asks about her ancestors leaving America.
Back to America.
Could you tell me more about the connection between Rixdorf and Lukenbach?
Well, if he took a string and tied it Lukenbach, it went through the earth and come out at your house. It's a straight line.
Now, that's a really good theme. That's an example of I'm giving a theme, building it over weeks and months, and then bang, the punchline.
Dun, dun, dun.
I wonder, how could I use that, or is there any...
You're using it already.
Well, trying to get to Lukenbach, Texas, that's the directest route.
It may not be the fastest, though, Roxy.
But just remember that the nearest emergency exit may indeed be behind you.
When one consumes RNA drops, are they letting the sin begin?
Well, they could, or the reticence continue. See, we're trying to get you to a place where you come back to your place of power, and after a little while, you got yourself or sacrifice like the blood over the doorpost for the second night of the Passover before the first child dies. So sacrifice that blood over the doorpost. And notice how that you can't eat leavened anything. And you got the four questions that you got to deal with. Work out the four questions. But the youngest one, you should read the four questions. But then what happens is that by the time you get the Kodesh in, you have to find out that the secret was in the splatter.
The four questions, does that refer to the tetrad ion, the four questions of the tetrad?
No. In the Passover Seder.
Yes, I wanted to ask him what are the four questions. And I also read today there is a tetrad going on, like four eclipses. The last one will be in September. Is that related?
To Exodus, yes.
Which is what you're for. You're developing the Exodus ion. So these four or five blood moons since December 2010 are quite a prime pump, right, for the Exodus.
They can.
They also could not be. No answer? I didn't care anyways. That's
the
all right.
Four questions.
I just make it up shit.
Can I ask a question?
No.
As long as it's on the four questions.
Yeah, Brian, you can. That's your role, Brian. You determine who gets to ask questions.
Ah, man, I'm going to have to Google that.
As long as it's one of the four.
I have no idea what you asked at the stage.
Okay. We're the slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord our God took us out from there with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm.
That definitely is the Exodus.
On all nights we need not dip even once. On this night we do so twice.
That is the second question.
On all nights we eat the chametz or matzah, and on this night only matzah.
You know what? I am stumped. I have no idea.
On all nights we eat any kind of vegetable, and on this night marrow.
Who's speaking? Who's
bitter
the female voice?
Bitter herbs.
It's Kim.
It reminds us of the bitterness of the slavery in Egypt.
Well, I had a question about something. I don't know if it does relate to what you were talking about with the light. A few months ago, you had a conversation with Bert, and you talked about an armor exoskeleton, and that's what our bodies are becoming. And it was in regards to Naomi or Ruth when she'd gone in, and her blood could not be drawn. And she was able to see, you know, ahead of her now in her eye, you know, paradise. And we have not gotten there. He said that she was like a beat and a half ahead of us. And when I looked up the word armor, it says a defensive covering for the body. And then the word exoskeleton is a tough external covering made of chitin, which supports the body and protects the internal organs. So when I looked up the word chitin, it's a French word, and it first appeared in the 1800s, and it means a covering. And on Bob's tiny note chart at the bottom, it says the waiting for the organic bodies to dance it, crystalline bodies to dance a hexad. And you were just talking about silica being the light and being quartz crystal. I wondered, does any of the covering or any of that have to do with the fact that our outside structure, our meat sack that we see, is a covering for us as the crystalline body is actually being perfected inside of us?
It's a Shabbat.
Shabbat.
Shabbad.
Well, the question I have is, it kind of reminds me, because when I looked into this and I went into biology, it was kind of in the same frame as a cocoon for a butterfly. that it was made of silk, but it spun around, and during that metamorphosis, out came a butterfly. I wondered if that's a good analogy of what's happening to us.
Or Chabad, or Lubavitch, could be used as a Lubavitch.
Kim, what did you say the light of the body was?
I didn't say it was. I said on Bob's tiny note chart, you know, at the bottom of the note chart, it says waiting for organic bodies, crystalline bodies to dance it. I think it says a dance a hexad. I have the chart in another room. So crystal is silica.
Spinning clothing crystals, Kim.
Okay,
the spinning clothing crystals have dance hex advertisement.
Hendiacally transposed.
Okay.
Hendiades, one by means of two, hendiacally transposed is what he just said.
Dude.
You know, when you're live on the air here, it's harder to come up with things. You can write things down. We haven't been talking right yet.
We can't have to worry about talking right. We just talk left.
Definition. It says to be sharp, to be keen, to be sharpened. That's what a chadad is.
So
to be sharp, to sharpen, or to be sharpened.
Maybe to hone.
Lubavitch. That's a place? Concentration camp?
It's a thing.
No.
A paint.
Thing.
It's a thing. Thing. Did he say thing?
That's what I think he said.
Yeah, like cousin it.
You're talking about those Jewish guys that wear those really funny hats.
No, I'm talking about the little hand that lives in the box that spins with Uncle Fester.
Okay, so the word hone is sharpen.
What did Gomez Adams ever do to you?
Nothing.
How would you like to live with a woman named Morticia?
Not too much, but she is kind of amusing.
Yeah, but Brian says she can get it. Brian says she can get it, though.
Can you talk about Lilith?
No, we're talking about Morticia Adams.
Oh, from Adams Family?
The one and only.
One with the hand. Had the hand
thing.
That was running around.
Thing. That was thing.
The thing.
And now, speaking of that, though, you know Lily Munster would be hotter, though. Lily Munster, Herman's wife.
Yvonne DiCarlo.
Hey, Ion, is Lilith hot?
Oh, yeah, she can get it.
So what the hell was Adam's problem not letting her be on top? I mean, was there something wrong with him?
It was a Levitical thing.
Brian, it sounds like you said, was there something wrong with me? That would be the correct way to say it. You're Adam.
I'm not Adam.
Yes, you are.
Says who?
Everybody says it. They agree. It's in the ringing in the cellular structure. The ionic bonding says it. Don't get thrown by this, Kim. Get back to your issue.
Is that you?
I got thrown.
See, that's what he just said. You were going to get thrown. So get back on that bucking bronco and ride it, honey. Lynchy and hang on tight. The white knuckle flight.
What was the topic? You were asking about my chart, the hexatic spinning clothing.
She's talking about Lubavitcher.
Yeah, what is that?
Is that the Jewish sect that was like in Poland? And they run around with those really weird hats. And
Russia,
still
Russia,
like
Russia.
Russian?
Russia.
They're in Brooklyn now.
They were our friends.
They're your friends. The guy died a few years ago, upset the whole community, because they didn't think he would die in New York City.
New York City?
Chabad Lubavitch is a philosophy, a movement, and an organization it is considered to be the most dynamic force in Jewish life today. Lubavitch is the name of the town in White Russia where the movement was based for more than a century.
But, Ayn, you didn't mean them when you said Lubavitch.
No.
No what? No to me or no that you're agreeing with me?
No, to neither. That was way back then. Lubavitch comes later. That's now. That wasn't then. That's now. We're talking about right. That now. That was this then, from then. But that's
yeah.
The Shabbat.
And how are they friends of you?
We all follow the books of Moses.
Shabbat is a Hebrew acronym for three intellectual faculties, wisdom, comprehension, and knowledge.
None of that understanding, none of that learning, none of that figuring, none of that damn ciphering. You just know.
Lubavitch means a city of brotherly love.
Oh, yeah, that's where them brothers will love you.
So, Kim, come at it another way. You're trying to ask about what?
Well,
But of course the Moyo cuts off the tip every time about the eighth day. That's when he does it.
I guess what I was asking is
just
that...
Just the foreskin. That's what you're asking. Just the foreskin.
maybe I'll go on to another totally off topic here.
You can do it on the counter, but you should do it on the dining room table, especially at the bris.
Kim, you were saying something about something and relating it to the bottom of my chart.
Yeah, I was reading it to the bottom of the chart because basically when, you know, you said with Naomi, most of us that cut ourselves, you know, we're not bleeding like we used to or anything. It seems like our outside body is becoming like a protective covering. You know, things are healing, I don't know, from the inside and the outside. I'm just not sure how that is working out. You know, how would that work?
Well, television, McLuhan said television extended central nervous system, so our insides went outside, and then extending the non-physical, like the RNA drops, makes our insides go outside. TV anticipated that.
It's a form of gemeliation, that's what it is.
Okay.
Gemeliation.
Empirically.
Anyway, that was something I wondered about for the last few months. Is it... It looks like our physical bodies are totally changing, you know, but when I always looked at the bottom of Bob's chart, when I saw the organic bodies, I often wondered, you know, that's a change we're looking towards. And if our outside bodies are changing for the inside of our bodies to come to the organic bodies. Does that make sense?
That would have to involve the then, now, back then, now, then thing. Like the changing thing would be depend on what future we placed back then to lead to that. So which future got put back then to become part of our now?
Okay.
That would apply to every question.
Wisconsin just beat Kentucky.
What did you say, Carol?
It's March Madness.
Totally...
It's the Final Four. This is important. What are you talking about?
March Madness?
Dude.
This is a totally off topic, but... There's something I really would like to ask. In Exodus 38:8, there is a verse that has got a word in there that just...
It's Notre Dame.
What verse in 38?
It's 38:8.
328 versus Notre Dame.
338 or 38:3?
No, it's 38:8.
Oh, 38:8. And he made the ladder of brass, and the foot of it brass, and the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Is it the laver of brass?
It's a laver of brass, I'm assuming, is like a basin. But what I found interesting, and it says, of the looking glasses of the women. And so there was no, I went through strong concordance, I went through all of this. Nothing could come up with this word. And they all argued about the fact, was it mirrors? They didn't have any reason why that word was used. And I just wanted to ask Ayn, what was that word? What was it specifying, the looking glasses?
The Gog of Magog.
The land represents the perfect sail, is that correct? Or is it a representation of the perfect sail?
The lamb's blood is representation of it.
Did you say of it? So it has to do with the 144,000, huh? A perfect sail.
A perfect sail is found in a perfect lamb's blood. Or an extended human in their meat sack.
And that has to do with 144,000 double helix strands. Is that correct?
Well, the exact location and variations are particularly common in Deuteronomy 8:7, Deuteronomy 17:14, Deuteronomy 18:19. Deuteronomy 26:1, 32:52, and also occur elsewhere in Leviticus 14:34, in Numbers 15:2, Numbers 34:2, Ezekiel 38:8, and Ezekiel 38:16. Not necessarily in that order.
And what are these saying? Are these saying that the 144,000 is in the perfect sail?
Yes, and perpetual ruin, 38:8.
Okay, so that we have the 144,000.
Jeremiah 49:33.
In Revelations, when they talk about the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. So I asked you earlier if 144,000 had anything to do with the light. You said no, but it seems that the 144,000 has everything to do with the light. In fact, in Revelations it says, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
Come to the land, applied to Gog himself.
Well, it says that Gog was the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, who came from Magog.
Yes.
Wasn't Magog up towards Russia?
No. Deuteronomy. Joshua 5:5. Come on.
Okay, Joshua 5:5.
Isaiah 10. Jeremiah 49. Evokes Ezekiel 6. The remaining borrowed locutions, not evoking a source for the text. Exodus 3:10, 12:7-4, 12:31, 11:8. Joshua 5:5.
What's all these quotes related to? What's the topic?
It's your story, Bob. We're just singing the verse.
And which part of my story?
Trying to figure out the Magog aspect of where the information is found that divides the light. This is the light of mine that I'm going to let it shine. Where would I ever find? Where the light of the lighthouse? Let's go back to God. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Let not your heart be troubled. What would I ask God if I could just ask one question? Is there one someone here among us? Is this a dagger which I see before me? When I was 1 in 20, I heard a wise man say, oh, wait, don't get it started. Don't get it started.
Fitting at ease.
We can go all the way to Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales.
Would you include Percy Bysshe Shelley, Lord Byron,
Lord Suffering Cats? No, those ridiculous, little insensitive, nothing things. No, we would.
What about John Huston, the director?
Yeah.
Film director.
We like Kitty Carlisle.
Oh, yeah. She's the main person in Hollywood you go with.
We like her. And Betty White. We love Betty White. Guess what? She's still hot, Bob.
I know. I saw her video.
Isn't that great? And you like that?
I came watching it.
I know. Guess what? She's still hot. Yeah.
Still hot after I completed it.
Yeah, I know. But what's up, Bay?
How about Isaiah 10? It says, "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and that write grievousness which they have prescribed." It's the whole thing, it seems to have to do with, you know, unjust laws, taking advantage of those that, you know, they're supposed to be over. You don't want me to read the whole thing, right?
You're talking about Exodus 38:8. They made a bronze basin and a bronze stand.
Okay, this is really off topic, but I'm just going to say this anyway. That doesn't have anything to do with, like, that group, the church, like the Mormons, that have a basin where they do the baptism for the dead.
Nitrium, sod, and potash. The Phoenicians, they used glass for glaze. The Mesopotamians, the seals that beads. You can find it archaeologically all over the place. Egypt had the oldest ones, about 1500 BCE.
Betty White.
Betty White, we love Betty White. Bob thinks he's on mute, but he's not. We must remember when St. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 13, now we see in a glass darkly. He doesn't mean metallic back glass mirrors that we think of them. Those only came into existence in the 12th and 13th centuries. Mirrors were first made of polished metals, the reflective surfaces such as obsidian. Obsidian, of course, is dark. The round mirror retrieved in archaeological digs in Susa, ancient capital of Elam, situated southwest of what today is Iran, may very well be the original prototype of mirrors later found in Egypt, Greece, Etruria, and Scythia regions, Persia, and China. The Cairo Museum, also somewhere else, owns a beautiful hand-held polished metal mirror with the handle made of ivory that dates from the 12th century BCE and is displayed along with Tutankhamun's set of moons, treasures. That was in 1354 to 1346 BCE.
What's the topic?
Bronze Scythian mirrors.
Bronze mirrors. Did Kim bring this
Scythian
up?
Scythian mirrors.
Did you bring this up, Kim?
Exodus 38:8. Yep.
Scythian mirrors. Scythian's a place?
Scythian is just a sin away, Bob.
That's the Kindles. Yeah, heaven's just a sin away. Yeah, you can play that too. Good. Unless they're from Carthage. If they're from Carthage, you better leave them alone. Oh, and never buy diamonds from the Syro-Phoenicians. It's never a good idea.
I would like to know what America is.
There's no cans in America.
It's going to be destroyed, and then is Atlantis going to appear also like America did?
Well, it's interesting because the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria arrived and no one knew what it was.
Who said that? Whose story is that, that they said they couldn't see it?
The tribes. The tribes couldn't see it. The witch doctor told them what it was, and they couldn't see it.
And that's not a true story. Not a true story, Ion?
The ships were like mountains moving on the water.
Yeah,
and they thought the men on the horses were like one creature because they never saw that before.
Why couldn't the Indians see the ships? Was it the labyrinth of their mind?
Because they were in their teepees.
They were just in their teepees. Didn't open the flap.
So if they were standing out on the shore,
it was going north.
And they looked out across the bay where the ships were, they could see them.
No, they wouldn't be able to see them because they couldn't see them because they didn't exist because they didn't exist because they'd never seen them before, so they didn't exist. So they couldn't see that, which they didn't know what was.
No, but maybe they could not see them because they didn't have a word for that.
Same thing. People don't know what they like. They like what they know. There's things before your lying eyes every day. We've laid them out for you. So picture clear, crisp, plain that you couldn't miss it. If you'd seen 700 hails or 9,000 heavens and had every angel on the planet pointed out to you, eat it, Joe's, eat it, Joe's, eat it, Joe's. Here's Joe's. Welcome to Joe's. Come in, sit down, eat it, Joe's. And they go, and the questions come back and says, what is Joe's? Is there a Joe? How does Joe apply to our conversation? Well, let's run it through the Pentad and see what the Pentad says about Joe. No, we're just saying sit down and eat at Joe's. Well, where's Joe's? Where would we find Joe's? If I was in a parallel world and Joe was over here, and if I was looking in Maui and looking southward and the wind was blowing and hit me in my face, where did the wind come from? Then it would be blowing in which direction? Well, we don't know. We'll have to eat at Joe's. Well, we hoped of Joe. We cried, and we hoped for so much more. We wanted all of Joe. The last poor Joe. We couldn't get to
Joe. Are you saying that you said there are things in front of us in plain sight that we don't see?
If you do not know what they are, we are telling you that just like the tribal Indians of America, you and they cannot see that which you have not seen before. And if you do, it's like Waldo. If you don't know what Waldo looks like, you'll be wondering the rest of your life eternally, where's Waldo?
But now the mystery landscape is becoming visible, so we're starting to see what we don't know.
Well, now it brings us up to this conversation, and it's a lot better than it did. So now, bronze Scythian mirrors have been found in Hebrew Bible Genesis. Remember? Imagery, 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 imagery.
Aya, did you just say some artifacts were just found?
We didn't want to say it because it's plain, so we didn't want to be too obvious. I mean, it says sheer damn archetypes, however glib. We're just trying to work it out. It's sad.
And what were they? Did anybody catch the names? That were
Scythian
found?
Mirrors.
Let's see. Bronze Scythian mirrors.
Scythian mirrors.
So those are the looking back rear view mirrors?
From Looking Back, Texas, yes.
I always heard that story was about the Mayans and the Spanish. I never heard it about the American Indians.
Yes, it is in the Chronicles, and there were many. The Indians will make, drawings for the Aztec king of what they were seeing, and these Chronicles exist.
But that's what they were seeing, right, Roxana? What they did see.
Yeah,
what
they were seeing, for example, mountains floating on water.
They saw mountains floating on water. Is that what they were calling the ships they saw?
That's how the people that make the drawings translated the ships.
So they could see it. They could see it. They just interpreted it as mountains.
No, that was only after the witch doctor told them it was a thing. Before that, they didn't see them as anything. They couldn't recognize them as anything. When they were coming up, they didn't see them at all. Then, when they were there and they had to be something, they didn't know what they were, the witch doctor described them, and that's how they translated, and that's what they said it was. Okay, mountains on the water.
Ion, look, you got these ships out on the water, right? The light hits them.
They're looking. They can't see.
They're looking.
They don't see.
But telling me their eyeballs. Let's go to their eyeballs. The rods and cones of their eyes that pick up this refraction of light that comes off the ship.
Yep.
They couldn't see it. But as soon as the witch doctor said that the ships were there, so those rods and the cones.
Mountains moving on the water. Then the things that the rods and cones picked up, just like the things right before your very lying eyes, lampstands, just like the very thing we pointed out 1,217,319 times now. Again, how clear this is, you get it and then ask the question yet again. And it's the pictorial position that allows you how to mitigate the seeing known and the heard being. The seeing known and the heard being. You heard me?
isn't it a situation where they may have seen the ships, but they didn't perceive them as being the enemy?
They didn't see them at all. They did not see
okay,
them
so,
at all.
But look, okay, so once the witch doctor told them the ships was there, did the rods in the cones of their eyes activate, or was it something
doctor,
in the labyrinth of their mind?
The witch doctor didn't know what they were either. He just had to describe it as something, and that's why they were described as mountains on the water.
They had some prophecies, and they were expecting something. They were expecting Quetzalcoatl to come back. So that's what they saw.
Yeah.
They thought they
were
the gods coming back.
I know, but what I'm getting at is what was the process that the Indians went through?
They were tired of cold foie gras.
What's that have to do with them being able to see the ships or not?
They were waiting on warm foie gras, and that's what showed up instead. So they didn't know if it was a mountain moving on the water or the way to eat foie gras here forward.
That doesn't make no sense.
You're right. It does not make no sense. It does not. Good. Very good.
Brian, that was a double negative.
You say it many times. There were many things that were always there, but we didn't saw them or we didn't were aware of that. Like, and you came and you are making us aware of things that have always been there, but we could not see.
Well, you won't see them. You won't see them. It's
well, okay, hold on. Okay, Roxana, name a couple of things, Ion, that you say is right in front of
Kitty Carlisle. Kitty Carlisle.
What, are you talking about a song?
See, he doesn't even know who the fuck Kitty Carlisle is, and he's saying there he is.
What does Kitty Carlisle have to do with things that you tell me are right in front of me that I can't see?
Kitty Carlisle
Kitty
and What's
Carlisle.
My Line?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kitty Carlisle is right in front of you, and you don't even know what she looks like.
Yeah, calm down, Brian. You're a bull in the china shop. You're missing the subtleties. You're talking over
we
people.
We like it. But you're
now, well,
look,
see, I'm
you're
trying to get something, but, and he's being distracting.
No, that's not distracting. That's being plain.
All I want to know is what happened with the Indians. Was it their eyes or their mind? Once the medicine man or whoever he was said, hey, there's mountains floating on the water. Now they went from seeing nothing to seeing the ships or something. So obviously the rods and their cones and their eyes was picking it up, but was it in their mind that's where it was invisible? And then once the medicine man said something, then it's like, okay, now we can allow what the rods and cones of our eyes are seeing anyway? Is this what happened? It was something in the mind?
Like the mind, yes, but no.
All I wanted to know is what the shift was in the Indians. They couldn't see the ships, but once they were told there were ships there, then they could see them. I just want to know where the shift is. Was it their eyes changed, or was it just the labyrinth of their mind? Or why couldn't they just see it and say, okay, we see these big things that we've never seen before on the water. We see them, but we don't know what they are.
Okay, we would say the exact same thing to you, Brian, things that we're telling you that he is, and you keep asking questions regarding them. Okay, what does an ascended human being look like? We'd say, it looks sort of like you, Brian. Oh, am I ascended? At what level am I ascended? Did I already ascend? Is my blood changed? Is my palm of my hand thicker? Is my blood moving differently? Do I feel like a racehorse? Am I able to consume vast quantities and not have any shift or change in my stuff? Is everything about that same work? You know, we say, yes, 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 yes. And you go, well, I don't really see it that way. I don't see myself really as physically fit. I just don't see myself that way. And we go, well, we don't care how you see yourself. You're doing just fine. Your meat sack body seems to be responding so far so good. And yet, you'll go on a damn diet. Interesting to us.
What are you talking about? I ain't going on no damn diet. I eat whatever the hell I want, when I want, and how much I want.
So, the shape that you are is defined by what?
Now, see, there's a good question. Now, this was a question that was brought up earlier about this obesity being fat business, and then what is fat? You know, you talk about the lipids, but we went through this whole dialogue that when people say, I want more energy, it's like, okay, well, the body responds by making your fat cells bigger. You know, and you define energy as a placeholder for a frequency load. So maybe instead of saying I want more energy, maybe I should say I want more life. How about that? More life. Sure. Not energy, more life.
Yeah, if we could just get you to see that, then you would recognize the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Great example.
Are you saying that I don't see the Pinta, Santa Maria, and the whatever the other one was?
The first one was the Nina.
Okay, you're saying that I don't see them?
Correct. Just like the question with the difference between energy consumption and size and shape of your body and how a calorie is converted into energy or stored in the fat cell, as you call the fat cell, or as kinetic energy influx of a calorie that has not been spent or, as you say, metabolized. So the fat people are eating like birds, getting fatter. The other folks are eating 10,000 calories a day and are waning. So apparently it doesn't have anything to do with what you eat. But yet your eyes say you are what you eat. But if you don't buy that, then it doesn't affect you. So is it your lying eyes that's the problem? Or is it in the essence of your creation that you're substantiated plight or position?
I found a song I wrote several years ago, and I found it about a month ago. It was a perfect description of your coming. I was going to take it home and work on it, and now I've lost it. Do you have any idea where that song is?
Yes, it's the last place you look.
No, Kyle, it's right in front of your lying eyes.
Exactly. I can't see it. I cannot see it.
There you go. Quit looking for it, and then it will be right there at your fingertips.
All right. Just quit thinking about it.
Not a thinking man's game.
Okay.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. Bob.
You want to get out? We're not letting you out yet, Ian.
Yeah,
Play the new Vestal song. The new one, yeah.
Do we have a new Vestal?
Yeah.
What about Planes of Existence? Ion, Planes of Existence. Were the Indians that couldn't see the ship, were they on a different plane of existence than others that could see the ships? Or what about people that see ghosts and other people can't see them? They can be standing shoulder to shoulder looking in a room. One person sees dead people, so to speak, or ghosts. The other person can't. Are they on a different plane of existence or a different frequency? Is it a different dimension, a different plane? Is there a reason why one can see ghosts and another can't?
The very reason they couldn't see the ships on the ocean.
And that reason is?
They couldn't recognize them, so they didn't see them.
Were they on a different plane of existence?
Okay. Yeah. Calm down. Your rods and cones see them, okay? But your mind won't process that they are. We say everybody sees dead people, but some people can recognize them. Others just think that the hair stands up on the back of the neck because a spirit or recently undead slips by you. Have you never watched Beetlejuice?
Some are in the Twilight Zone, some not.
I think the daughter could see them, Winona Ryder. She could see them, but the parents couldn't.
Remember that Bruce Willis movie? I think it was The Sixth Sense, where the little kid, he could see dead people. He could see them everywhere, but nobody else could see them.
Sixth Sense.
How does one open the doors to the mind to allow one to see?
Okay. Vestal Goodman has got a new song. He's still writing. And Bob, one day, he's going to play it. Bob.
Okay, here we go.
Lots of people were in bondage, no one to lead them out, until the Lord said, Moses, turn your steps about. He looked toward the burning bush, then took off his shoes. On holy ground, Moses cried, Lord, I'll follow you.
I will follow thee.
Troubles had to flee when I heard my Savior say, will you follow me?
I will follow thee over mountain high or on the stormy sea. And when I hear your voice, Lord, no matter how I feel, I will leave my burden there, Lord, I'll follow thee.
Oh.
Vestal Goodman didn't get any better than that. Now there's a newsflash, new Vestal Goodman. There's a newsflash.
Is there a newsflash, Carol?
You've never heard that song before,
Bob. I never heard that, no.
New
Vestal. Not that great. It's okay.
It's all new right. Vestal.
That's good. And I was just thinking they're being very careful. They're marketing her. They're putting it out by drips and drabs, right? Bill Gaither and his boys. Bill Gaither. Bill Gaither and his gang.
He just wrote it.
They're only in it for the money.
He just wrote it.
Hey, get my coconut drink.
She just write it from the other side?
This side, that side, inside, outside. You're lying.
Will this song help us to see what we don't see now?
Yeah, definitely. If anybody at this late day is going to help us, it's either Corbin or Vestal. The rest of us, Chad can't even get step up to the plate. What is Chad doing now? Yes.
I've been putting my hand up for like 2 hours.
I know, you've been on and off, you've been making noises. You've been playing with the new Ionettes visiting you, you know, and it gets in the way.
Bob couldn't see your hand. It was being
optimistic. Does that hand come from the south, going north, or north going south?
It blew in his face, so it must have been northbound wind. But either way, they were...
Go ahead, Chad.
I heard you say, or it was written somewhere, maybe on Ed's blog or something, a quote from you... probably from a few months ago, something about ascension power or is erection power or something, or boner power. I can't remember what it was.
They get this. Here we go. We made a quote. It called number one, important number one's attention. So much so that he saved it, memorized it, canonicalized it, processed it, and has now brought it back to us. And the question is, hey, Ion, what was the quote? If that's not the perfect synesthesia version of what we've been talking about all night long. You win the day. It's great. Congratulations. The best example ever.
Okay. I'd like to know what that quote represents in terms of ascension. Are you saying that, like, the male erection power is an example of, like, ascension energies flowing through someone?
It's a representation of it, yes.
Representation.
Kathy's gonna knock your drink off, but I'll scoot over a little bit.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear any of that.
He told Bob to scoot his coconut drink over a little bit. He was fixing to spill it.
It's not even near me. Carol took it away. You're a phase behind, Ion.
Well, it's your lying eye. It's not ours.
I'm going to spill it.
Yeah, I took it away so you wouldn't spill it. Well, Ion and I are working together.
Yeah, they compromised.
So in all those ancient Egyptian drawings and cave paintings and things like that about gods and stuff like that, is that why they all have boners? Because they're ascended?
Most time, yeah.
So ascended man just walks around with a boner all the time?
He can't. Bob does. Bob's done it for years.
Done what? Walked around with boners?
With an erection, yes.
Ion, I'd like to know the physiological dynamics that cause an ascended man to have more boners than a non-ascended man.
Increased blood supply.
So the ascended man has more blood in his body?
Yes. And the specific gravity and the density of it is different.
So not only the quality of the blood changes during ascension, but also the quantity. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. The white blood cells increase so that basically the platelets are almost 1.5 times the specific gravity of little man's.
I thought you said that ascended man doesn't have white blood cells anymore.
Platelets. We were talking about spun out platelets. The coagulants.
So ascended man has white blood cells but not platelets?
We're not talking about white blood cells. We're talking about white blood cells. We're talking about spun out whole plasma, platelets.
So ascended man has more platelets? What?
1.5 times more.
The size. Or more of, okay.
Specific gravity is 1.5 times denser.
So a man walking around with 1.5 times denser specific gravity of platelets, what effect would that have on things like electronic devices?
Be shocking.
So the man would get a shock?
No, but it would be shocking.
Shocking for who?
The blinded one that sees it for the first time.
Give me an example of what that would look like. The man walks into a room and the stereo turns on and then the little man sees it and gets shocked by it?
It says, shock and awe doth ensue.
Is there anything metallic about that that would increase, like, the magnetism that the field around the man? The ascended man?
No.
No? Okay.
Quantitative gravitation pull doesn't have anything to do with it.
So does specific gravity have anything to do with spin?
No. Pitch or yaw.
Which one of the degrees of freedom has most to do with specific gravity?
The sixth.
The sixth?
Yes.
So pitch, yaw, spin. What is it, sway? No.
Surge.
Surge?
Surge.
So surge is that forward motion, right?
You're asking us, yeah.
Yeah, I'm asking you.
He's so big. Got a little bit of slobber on the side of his mouth. He's amazing. We just adore number one.
Brian, you take the wheel for a minute.
You want me to take the wheel?
Yeah.
With this subject?
Any subject. I'm doing something here. Bob caught me off guard.
You're not playing with your erection, are you, Chad?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay. I was just checking.
Oh, Brian, no.
Now, you would hear him if he was getting it. You know that.
No, I like what you were talking about, Brian, earlier, about the ships that were coming in and the natives saw them. And they basically 3-2-1 did, it sounds like. It sounds like they had the suggestion of some kind of presence coming at them.
That's a way to describe it.
So it wouldn't be Inception, would it?
It's the dream state in a dream state in a dream state.
Isn't Inception like the 3 and the 3-2-1?
Closer.
So Inception have anything to do with 3-2-1?
Yeah. It's a version of it. But you all placate that into a dream state, which it very well may not be. Just because you call something a dream doesn't mean it is. Just because you call something a mountain moving on the water doesn't mean that's what it is. It's just what you call it is. It could be the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
Chad, you haven't started playing with your penis this weekend?
None of your business.
Hey.
Hey, Bob, you already know too much. So
that's
don't
right,
probe any further. I'm, okay.
Just let you know, I know. I know, Chad.
I know you know.
So does Carolyn.
I know.
I know, too.
I know he,
and I know that Bob thinks he knows, but Bob knows nothing.
The eternal quarrel. Isis versus Rye.
Yeah, so with the Nina Pinta and Santa Maria, to me, the way I see it is a group of people, the natives, sort of threed something collectively, meaning they had an idea, and then non-physical presented something there as a furry image on the horizon, and then they won it by saying, oh, it's a bunch of ships of, like, alien people with white faces or something like that.
I think we're in the same situation, and that was McLuhan's explorations. He was making us aware that we are not seeing the environment. We are only seeing the old environment.
The old environment?
And
old? O-L-D.
The old, yeah. And for the Indians, the new environment, the new thing, was that.
You mean like how people look at a new medium through the eyes of the old medium kind of thing?
Yeah, the new environment. It was a new environment.
So, yeah, the only precedent that people have to describe the new environment are artifacts from the old environment, and they're always limiting. So they have to come up with new words. If they invent new words, which is what we've been doing here for 6 years.
Roxanna, what environment would you call a dream? Of course, Ion says that they're not dreams, they're real. When you say, oh, I had this dream and this is what happens, and he'll say, no, you didn't. You didn't have a dream, that was real. So what makes it real? Or why would I say it's a dream? Is it a dream because I say it's a dream because it's what I say happens when I say I go to sleep, I go to bed, I close my eyes, I go to sleep. So it's a dream and it's... It has limited sensory perception.
Descartes asked that same question, and he said the difference between being awake here and being in a dream is only that in what you call a dream, there is no storyline. You go back and there is every time is another parallel world and another story. There is not a continuity.
Right,
and,
you can't repeat
In your main world... I go back to some dreams. In your main world, you have like this linear storyline.
But in the dream world, what I mean, you can't repeat it. I mean, you can't go back to the same spot you left off and continue with it and repeat it every single day.
I suppose you can.
I guess that would make it sort of linear in a sense, and maybe that's where the time, the false premise of time, gets you tangled up.
I think it's not important. I mean, we can go to all these worlds, and maybe we don't want to go every day to the same place and continue.
Oh, you mean, if you're saying what is not important is going back to where you left off and continuing with it.
Yes, but I think you could, like many parallel worlds do that.
I just sent off an email to him.
He was by the costing.
Vitacost? Cal uses that. Vitacost.
Can we go back to the same dream and have this linear storyline?
More times than not, they're not dreams.
What are they?
Reality.
I consider everything reality now. I don't classify anything into dreams.
Well, that's because you've blown your mind there, Wendy. There in Calgary, it's been a little tough. 2014, 2015.
Wendy, I do the same thing. I consider everything reality also.
That's because Brian only lives in a functioning dream.
You and Wendy live in a functioning dream.
Like, I no longer put lines in the sand between dream life and what's real and whatever.
Good. Neither do we.
Wendy, let me ask you.
We do.
Wendy,
headquarters.
I think in what we call dreams, we had less limitations in what we call the real world. So maybe that was a way of escaping this falling state and the limitations we thought we had.
You're in the real world, Bob. You have that song. You can say that for them, too. You're in the real world.
Yes. I'm in the real world.
I mean, in what we call dreams, we allowed ourselves, for example,
here,
to fly
here,
and
real. Here
all
in
these
the real
things.
World.
Roxana, do you have control in your dreams at all times?
Yeah, many times I do. I'm very aware.
You're aware, but I'm saying, do you have control? Can you do what you want, when you want, how you want? Can you feel and taste and smell?
Yes, like this, like here.
Just like here.
Yes.
Like we're doing right now.
Are you saying you're dreaming right now, Wendy?
No, I was saying that, like Roxanne had just said, like we're doing right now, like here.
Uh-huh.
I could do dreams. But I have to say, since always ingesting the RNA drops, the world that I used to consider the dream world has become more in my control, in that the dreams that used to be frightening, like I used to always get lost in a scary, bad neighborhood, but ever since being on the RNA drop, I can get out of those situations. I still find myself in situations that would be considered really frightening, but I come out the victor now. I get out of these situations ever since I've been on the RNA drop in what used to be considered dream world, but now I don't delineate it anymore.
Now you're bringing a gun to a knife fight instead of bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah. Good analogy.
It's a double-barrel butcher knife.
Well, it must be nice having all that control and sensation in your dreams.
Mm-hmm. It makes your pee-pee stand up, too.
Well, like I said, Brian, I still find myself in unfavorable situations, but with the RNA drops, I find my way out of them. I'm not saying it's all roses, but there's always an answer. There's a way to be the victor.
Do all your dreams make sense?
Well, to this particular body that's speaking, not necessarily, but perhaps to one of my other selves somewhere else, it's making sense.
Yeah, but I'm not talking to them. Go ahead, Chad.
No, not always.
One thing I've noticed over the past 6 years is since I started engaging with Ion, I dream less, way less. Like, I dream, like, maybe once or twice a month now.
Mm-hmm.
Ion, I'd like to know why I dream less.
Because we're living more. You don't have to escape. You have the real deal. Here in the real world.
I think I dream every day, so I do escape.
I gave you my love, but that wasn't enough to hold your heart. But here in the real world, it's not easy at all. Because when your heart gets broken, it's real tears that fall. And darling, it's sad but true. But the one thing I've learned from you
is
gotta wait for the coda. We'll have to make it how a boy don't always get the girl here in the real world. Play it, Bob. Play it, Bob.
Well,
yeah, with the dreams in the early sessions I had with Ion, Ion used to ask me, like, tell us about the dream I had the other night. And I would start describing it, and then Ion would say, okay, when you see the palm tree next time in your dream, go up to it and look, like, more closely at the details around it. And then I would start having the same dreams again, and I would just look at more details. And then it got to the point where, like, 6 months later, that's when I started seeing the symbols for the parallel world traveling, because I developed this way of really zooming in a dream and seeing these little details.
Patterns, shapes. And then he pissed us off and we opened up all the portals and they've been opened up ever since.
I pissed you off so you did it?
Mm-hmm. Good job, number one.
Yeah. Well, better to be pissed off than to be pissed on, right, Ion?
Well, that depends on the party, but it's... You're not wrong. Okay. You're also wrong. All the symbols besides Dr. Dean.
That, you know, Chad, that's funny because I remember in one of my sessions, Ryan was talking about people will want me to piss on them. I'm like, what? He says, yeah, you'll be pissing eye sails all over the place. They'll want you to piss on them.
Maybe we should be bottling our piss.
Yeah.
Why hoard it? Spread it around.
It's funny because I watched that series on history. It's a Vikings TV series. You know, they just got through having a big battle, and the one guy had a big gash on his abdomen where he got hit by a spear or something. But anyway, he was sitting there, laying there, and he was in pain, and that princess or queen or whoever she was, she says, I can make that better for you. And he says, how's that? And she just got right on top of him, lifted up her dress, and just pissed on him.
Yeah, and then she yelled, super pussy.
Ed is in the other room watching Vikings right now.
So he's saying he would prefer the soup?
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah, the guy that got his arm healed, yeah.
I'll take the pussy when I want to connect to myself.
Here in the real world, that'll work. Hey, Bob. Hey, boss. How close are we now? Come on, Bob.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cowboys don't cry. And heroes don't die. Good always wins again and again. And love is a sweet dream that always comes true. Oh, if life were like the movie, I'd never be blue. But here in the real world, it's not that easy at all. 'Cause when hearts get broken. It's real tears that fall. And darling, it's sad but true. But the one thing I've learned from you is how the boy don't always get the girl here in the real world. I gave you my love, but that wasn't enough to hold your heart. When times got rough, and tonight on that silver screen, it'll end like it should. Two lovers will make it through, like I hope we would. But here in the real world, it's not that easy at all. 'Cause when hearts get broken, it's real tears that fall. And darling, it's sad but true. But the one thing I've learned from you is how the boy don't always get the girl here in the real world. Now the boy don't always get the girl here in.
You know, Chad, this Christian culture or some of this country stuff is Ion's doo-wop. That's what he said earlier.
Yeah.
He said, Bob, you like that doo-doo-wop stuff. Well, we like this. So that's it. That's the Ion's sentimentality.
But love songs and heartbreak, I'm sure everybody has – I shouldn't say sure everybody. I'm sure, Bob, you probably haven't. But most people have experienced such heartbreak from, you know, love lost or gone wrong, the trauma is unbelievable and will make a person ill and whatever. So, Ion, will you explain to us the reason behind that? What's the goal in people experiencing love and heart sickness? Why is that such a huge theme within the human race that this?
It's a connection of a reconnection from the little man to the big man process, stepped process.
Mm-hmm. So it's little man trying to reconnect with their big man self? Is that what you said?
With segregation is how you eliminate possibilities. And you can't find another way to eliminate the possibility except for obfuscation. So you break a broken heart.
Ion, can you just speak up a little, please? You want to reword your question, Wendy?
Well, I was just wondering if when we fell, we found it some sort of a necessity to create these broken heart scenarios because it's so prevalent throughout the human race, irregardless of nationality or sex or gender, I mean. Is there a reason that we felt we needed to put ourselves through that?
It's how it plays out more times than not.
It's just filling the void until you get back, or your attempts to fill the void.
Do you say that people even have relationships, or they just bounce around like rabbits?
Mm-hmm. Well, I could ask that question. Ian, I've been here for over 4,000 years, according to you. How many broken hearts have I experienced?
Two.
two.
Wow.
Yes.
Patsy Cline, and who's the other one?
Yes, Patty Smith. Patsy Cline and Patty Smith.
That's not what he asked. Or that's not what he said. He said, how many broken hearts did he experience? Or
yeah.
did you mean, how many broken hearts did you cause?
No, how many did I get myself?
Okay, two.
I know who they are. One was my homosexual relationship with the third Jesus. That was a fight.
I don't know, but it was a fellatio-based experience.
It was not real love. It was not real love. I realized about 1,000 years later, oh, yeah, that wasn't real. So get over it, Bob. Get over it. I moped around with the guy who speared the third Jesus. We moped around for about 1,000 years, walking around, pissed off, waiting for Jesus to come back for two personal different reasons. He was hoping for salvation. I just wanted to get fucked again. What did he say?
What did he say?
If he nervously washes his hands.
I didn't wash no hands. What did he say, Chad? Translate, please. He's mocking me, isn't he?
Yeah, he's mocking me.
What did he say? I didn't hear it. Look at you, fucking conspirators. You won't even help me. Not one of you will tell me what he said.
I couldn't pick out what he said either, other than the nervously washing your hands, and that always makes me think, well, maybe you were Pontius Pilate once, too.
No, Pontius Pilate learned that from me. He said, does that work, Bob? I said, damn right it fucking works. So he started washing his hands. He still washes his hands.
Did you, Bob, defile Herod's temple?
Got that in my resume. That helped me make the shortlist for the Dark Soul.
resume.
Ion, is nothing sacrilegious anymore? Like, I know I don't adhere to any religion, but is there something that we do that would be considered sacrilegious? I suppose only to ourselves, before God.
Only from that standpoint.
So everything's good that we do. We're good, whatever, you know, if we're comfortable within what we are doing, we're good.
But you're not. You never are. You never are. You just let it go. That's the point. If that were the case, yes. But it's not the case. You build it up to tear it down. It's cold blood.
Yeah.
Cold blood. Yo, Gotti. How you going to survive now?
Like the libertine gospel, Wendy. It's libertine gospel, not the law.
Yeah, things are so deeply rooted in the labyrinth that even when we say we're not affected by it at this point, well, I'll just speak for myself, I know that I still am, even though I'm speaking the words, although it's becoming less.
Reality is getting tighter with the dreamland.
Reality's getting, did you say, tighter with the dreamland?
Yeah. So that means they're becoming one?
In dyadically speaking, sure.
Well, that seems opposite.
Seems opposite to you personally, that it's not becoming one, Brian?
Well, had dyadies, that's one. You have one by means of two, so you have reality and dreamland becoming one. That's in, what do you say, the anxieties?
They seem to be one, but they never become one. You become one hundiacally. That means you always remain doubled. You just get used to it. You make records with it. You make music.
It's a customary proposition.
Well, we never know how to respond to Ion because he's not speaking loud enough. We're missing a lot of your syllables, Ion.
Mm-hmm. Does he get tired?
What?
Oh, you can hear me.
That sounds like priest or what's your name?
Yeah, it's priest. It's Cameroons. I never can remember. Is it Priestly? Priester? Puff face? Puff head? What's your name?
It's the safe up marshmallow man.
Another failed communique, Ion.
Something about the Marshmallow Man?
Yeah, you got to speak louder, Ion.
Yeah.
Day Puffs, yeah. You want to say something, Priska?
I took my first RNA drop today.
Oh, how's that? How you feel?
Good.
You notice anything?
Yeah, when it came in, I opened the box. There was this fragrance, sweet fragrance. And I smelled everything out of the box. It didn't smell like what I was smelling. What's that?
You smelled the box, then you opened the bottle, and the bottle smelled differently.
I didn't open any bottle. As soon as I opened the box, there was this fragrance. Sweet
it's
fragrance.
Delivered by an angel.
You smell the fragrance, and what's your question about it?
I hadn't opened any bottles.
But there was a fragrance.
Yes.
Okay, why was there a fragrance, even though she hadn't opened the bottle?
She was recognition.
Remembering, recollection. She'd been here before, is that what you mean?
Her nose responded to a
Hey, guys, listen
speech.
To the Coldplay in the background. Hear that?
That was coming.
Yeah, there it is, the powerful hose effect.
Bob Head was working hard for the money.
You guys have worked for 2 years down there in the factory.
I like that one time when I think it was actually it might have been JW. JW was working on something. He was working with some kind of compound. He was so I'm in the back. I'm working with this stuff. I'm trying not to blow the fucking place up.
Nice.
I don't remember what it was he was working with.
Yeah.
Something volatile, I assume.
That was around the Armageddon time.
Probably working with a big bag of fingernails or something.
No, just broken pipes. Pipes, you know, leaking uncontrollably.
I have a small little bag of fingernails.
Titanium couldn't hold. Damn, titanium didn't hold.
It didn't hold. He was ass deep in deuterium, wondering what he was going to do next.
Ass deep in deuterium, wondering what he's going to do next. That's how we do our science. That's how we do it. Hope an Iowa show up and give a little direction.
Several weeks, for sure.
Several weeks, that's right. It was, what is that? What's the line Iowa says? It was a white-knuckle flight, man. 2 weeks, the balance of the whole universe was depends on whether Iowa would get in touch with JW again.
That's
Bob
right.
Frustrating it all along because Bob wanted to blow up the fucking universe. What are those guys, brother? What's that one? Is that famous movie? They have a standoff at the end. Is it stalemate?
Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah, it might have been Reservoir Dogs. That's what I'm trying to think of. That's the way it was between me, Ion, and JW. We had our fucking laser beams on each other, and nobody was going to move. And then Carol walked in and cast a deciding vote, and humanity was liberated.
It sounded a bit like the time that you saw Ion on the video. You know,
yeah, the hologram, November 27, 2014.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like that.
No, that wasn't a tense time. That wasn't a standoff. That was just Ion drift around looking at the factory, and we watched him stop. And he looked a little alert.
He was fighting over the stainless steel. He was all at it.
So, anyways, Allison, so Ion would stop every now and then, look alert. And we said, what, is there something coming? He looked like slightly paranoid. He said, no, I'm measuring the machines. Like he would sit there and he was floating. He was like JW's torso and head responding, absorbing the various machines in the factory. And he was measuring them, checking their parameters. Like he was feeling it through his stomach, proprioceptively, say. That's the only drama we've
had.
Bob got greased up in the vernacular?
Greased up his vernacular.
I greased up my vernacular, yeah.
Socio-perceptively, however.
Yes, that's a phrase that Ion used, you know, a year ago a lot. It's the first time we've heard it in a long time. Socio-perceptively.
This sounds like the ion that's outside of JW's body, big time.
What sounds like that?
Whatever I'm hearing.
That's something steam, you know, something being emitted. Maybe the Axion water. It's a part of the.
What?
Yes, that's
okay.
It's pouring out. It's just pouring out. This goes 24/7. It's an incredible fucking scene going on there. It's endless, you know, wealth, endless abundance, endless energies, force fields.